That was Larry Comas on the call. House Rules taking the maiden special weight by 5 3/4 lengths. Since then, second in the Devona Dale, second in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, and then a close sixth place finish behind the Chiefs' former protege, Leah Giramonte, and Sweet Reason last time out in the Acorn. Nice enough now to join us for a few minutes is the Hall of Fame trainer himself, Alan Jerkins. Alan, thanks so much for joining us.
Can't hear you very well. Talk loud.
Hey, Daddy. Thanks for joining us this morning. How is it down in beautiful, sunny Florida?
Well, it's pretty hot, yeah. It's okay, but it's pretty hot.
First year you're staying full-time down in Florida. We miss you up here in the Big Apple.
Yeah, I miss it, too.
What made you stay down, Alan?
Well, it's easier for me the way I am now, and, you know, it's easier for me to operate down here with my home close to the track, and it's easier for me. You know, when you get old, you have a lot of problems. You can't even mention to other people, so it's easier for me down here. That's why I stayed. Don't worry, I miss it up there. I'd be up there if I could be.
Alan, 64 years ago on July the 4th, 1950, you saddled your first winner at Aqueduct Racetrack. What are your memories of what the 64 years have been like since? Has it been a blur for you?
No. You know, Woody Stevens finished second in that race. And I remember I had a jockey named Earl Knapp riding my horse. His name was Populous. And then I didn't do very good for almost a year after that. And then I started to do pretty well.
Well, throughout that career, you had a history of pulling these giant upsets. Your nickname, the Giant Killer. You beat horses like Cicada, Buck Passer, Secretariat, Riva Ridge, and Forgo. You got another horse to contend with today in Untappable. Do you have another upset in you, Chief?
Well, that's pretty hard to do. But, you know, I guess everything is possible. We hope we run a good race. That's the main thing. So we think we have a pretty good filly, and I think she will develop more as she gets older. And we're hoping for a good race. That's all we can hope for. It's a pretty, it's an exceptional filly, that filly. And the rest of them aren't bad either. I mean, everybody's just counting. There's a couple of other good ones in the race too.
Yeah, absolutely. Princess Violet, your former assistant trainer, Mike Hushin, 2 wins in a row for her. American there for Bill Mott. So certainly a lot of good horses in there, Chief. You left the horse up in New York following the Acorn. She's been stabled in the barn of your son, Jimmy Jerkins, and chose a 6-furlong breeze the other day. And the reason that I love the 6-furlong breeze is that's typical you. That's typical Alan Jerkins. When Leah Giramonte breezed Sweet Reason 6 furlongs before the Breeders' Cup, everyone said, why'd you breeze the horse 6 furlongs, not 4 furlongs or 5 furlongs? She said, well, that's the way Chief did it, and that's the way that I want to do it. Talk a little bit about that training.
Well, most people, for some reason, there's a stigma against training horses long. They train them long, but they won't admit it. I don't understand it. They breed, a lot of people breed the horse 5 furlongs, and they gallop out another quarter and 26. So that's like breeding another, it's like breeding 7 furlongs, isn't it? I don't know why they're ashamed to admit it. I don't know what the stigma is. Because the average person who just came into this game now would think that you're not allowed to train a horse more than 5 furlongs, no matter if he's going 1.5 miles or 2 miles or 5 furlongs. And I just don't understand the reasoning behind it, but what the hell, they got all the horses and they're doing all the good and I'm not, so I just don't understand it. Like, you take the average, a lot of the guys that work horses say they work them 5/8, they let them gallop out another 3/8 and 37 or 38. So that's the same thing as working them long, isn't it? I don't understand it.
Alan, you know, this filly used to have I shouldn't say used to, but she showed a lot more speed earlier on, and then last time out she was so far back. Going to change tactics a little
bit,
really
trying
to be a little
closer?
She really
wasn't that far back. I mean, she was back, she's 10th, but she's only four or five lengths off the lead. It's not like she was way off the lead. I hope she could run like that today. I think it'd be better for her going this far. But I don't know. I'm leaving it up to the jock. He's been winning stakes, so he should know.
Hall of Fame trainer Alan Jerkins joining us live on the Equine Forum. Alan, you're a guy that's been involved in this sport for a long, long time. We talk about 64 years next Friday from saddling your first winner. How much pride do you take in seeing kind of your legacy continue on with your training ladder? You're kind of the coach here of guys like Mike Hush and your son Jimmy and Steve Jerkins, Leah Giamatti, all the success that she's had this year. How much pride do you take in seeing how well that they're doing?
Oh, that's so great. That's so great. I feel so happy to see that because for a while there, they used to say nobody ever did any good that worked for me before, so I'm glad it turned around and it's the opposite now. So they've done awfully well. Yeah. Leah's done so well. Mike's done so great. Jimmy's done well. And so anyhow, you see what happens. Every day is
different. Jimmy looking for a big half out of Wicked Strong.
You know, it's a funny thing. The 4th of July was my first winner, but the 4th of July was my first $100,000 race, too, 1962.
Wow.
So are we running anything on the 4th of July in Florida?
No, but we might. Run a little cheap horse, yeah.
Alan Jerkins, the chief, joining us. Alan, we've mentioned before about some of those giant upsets that you pulled in the past. Is there one in particular that will always stand out for you? Was it Onion?
Well, it would have to be, but when Proveout won the race, both Proveout's races were big. The mile and a half and the two-mile race, they were very big because he ran the last quarter in 24 in a mile and a half, and he went the last quarter in 24 and change into 2 miles. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, so many big upsets throughout the career. Saratoga, when you won the race last year at Saratoga, and the crowd, the applauding in the crowd and everything, I mean, it seemed like a very overwhelming moment for you last year at Saratoga.
Oh, sure it was, because we trained the filly all meet up there just for the one race, and she was able to win it, and it was great. Yeah,
that's something Anthony and I have spent a good part of this show talking about, the state of this game, the state of where it is, and look, it's changed a lot since you saddled that first winner back in 1950. If you were the commissioner of racing, and I know a lot of people come to you and kind of think you are the unofficial commissioner of racing with your memories and your stories and the great stuff that you've done throughout the years, what would you tell people on what can be done to help this sport get back to where it was?
Well, I think it is not that far from it anyway. It's just the fact that we have the bigger outfits now. We have more horses in the same people's hands than we used to. That's about the only thing that's changed. But the best horses win and the best jockeys win. It's not really that much different.
Yeah, you try to explain that.
We have a lot of grass. We didn't have any turf. When I first came around, we had no turf racing.
And do you think that's changed the game a lot?
Yeah, it has, and it's the reason why we can't fill some of the other races, because we never had any extra races when I came around. The only time you'd ever have an extra race if it rained for a week or something like that, they'd put on one cheap race as an extra. But the book used to go all the time because, like I say, there was no grass racing, and they used to split you to. They went against splitting races. I don't know why the racing secretaries nowadays don't want to split races. They used to split a lot of races years ago.
Any shot at seeing you at Saratoga, Chief, if one of them deems himself worthy?
The what?
Any shot at seeing you at Saratoga if one of these fillies deemed themselves worthy to run up there?
Well, I will try, but I don't think I can make it.
The great one, the Hall of Fame trainer, Alan Jerkins. We appreciate you taking a few minutes. Alan, one question before we let you go. I've always been dying to ask you this. The one thing when you were training at Belmont you loved to do was the football games and the softball games and kind of the family atmosphere of the backstretch. Who was the best athlete that you ever played with, whether it be football or baseball? Was it a jockey, a fellow trainer? Who were some of the best athletes that you remember
two
playing?
Two exercise boys that worked for me, Jimmy Rose and Jay Holtzman.
So the fix was in the whole time in the games.
Jimmy Rose was really good, and then we had a guy named Boone working for us, and he played some in high school and football. And when I wanted to, somebody to throw a long pass, I had to get him. He could throw it for a long way. And it was a lot of fun. We all had a lot of fun. The girls played too.
Football.
Leah played. Robin Smith played.
Everybody played. I remember being a little kid. There was nothing better than when my old man would take me to the barn and I'd help you push the feed tub around, the wheelbarrow around, feed time, and play a little football in the chute. Good times as a kid.
Yeah, we had fun.
All right, Alan Jerkins, a rare change here, riding a leading jockey in Joel Rosario. We're no apprentice, no bug riders here in the Mother Goose. We're not messing around today, Alan. We wish you the best of luck, and we really thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Equine Forum.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Chief.